The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. Amen. You know, let me just say something to you. Every time you go to bed, yeah, you've lost the power. Anything could happen to you. It's the grace of God. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how much you are earning. It doesn't matter how popular you are. Whether you're the greatest politician or the prime minister or the president, when you go to bed, your life is not in your hands. It's God. It is by His grace that you stand. It is by His grace that you breathe. Hallelujah. In fact, actually, the air you breathe is not just the oxygen. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let me just revise something. I say, when bad things happen to people, they grumble and they mourn and say, I don't deserve this. But today in this sermon, you will see what do you really deserve, if not the grace of God. Amen. It's the grace of God that makes the difference. Let's go to John 14 first. John 14, and we read verse 1 to verse 6. John chapter 14. Today we're talking about the good news of salvation. And for you to understand the good news of salvation, you need to understand also the bad news. Because good news does not have value until you know the bad news. So when you understand the bad news, you can better appreciate what? The good news. Amen. John chapter 14. I just give this word. This is not, I'm still opening another text, but I would like to start from here. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. So I'll just have someone read that. I like people to read, so I'll usually go around and let people who volunteer read. I'm sure that we can, you know, find. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. Who would like to read first? Okay, Brother Deji.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to my Father except through me.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And you know, I'd like to start from that place today. Because this morning, you know, we remember, you know, well, sadly, the passing away of one of our beloved friends. You know, we've only known her for like 2 months, and she was here last week. That's Navila. And she was recovering, but at the same time, you know, she had a terminal illness, and sadly, she passed away on Friday. Navila's brother is here today, and we just extend that love to you. But, you know, I'll give that word to you, but also to the whole church, that for someone who believes in Jesus, who has made Jesus their Lord and Savior, in fact, the key word there is Lord, death, physical death, is not the end. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. I'd like to remind every one of us in this church that if anything on earth is more valuable to you than heaven, there's a problem with your spiritual life. Because what God has in store for you is infinitely far greater than anything you can have or achieve on earth. In fact, the best of what you can achieve on earth cannot compare with what he has in store. And it's time, every time we began to understand that, that your heavenly destination is by far better. So far better that even if you live all your life on earth in poverty, you will still not lose if you made heaven. Because the total length of your life on earth, I can tell you, is about 100 years. Did you know that? And every day you live, your time on earth is getting shorter. Whether you like it or not. I remember when I was 9 years old. I got born again when I was 9 years old. It was like yesterday. Yeah? More than 3 decades have passed since then. It was like what? Yesterday. Hallelujah. Your life on earth is not getting shorter. We all have a definite appointment. There is one appointment that you signed when you were born. And that appointment is the appointment with death. And I'm not trying to scare you there. By the way, I believe I will not die. I believe I'll be raptured. I'll be caught up with Jesus alive. Amen. That's my firm belief. I'm not ashamed to say it. Amen. But at the same time, remember that you are not going to live forever on this earth. So if all your plan is for this earth, you are the most foolish of all men. Hallelujah. Because there is a life to come. And that one is the one that will last forever. The one we are living now will fade away. You see, this world, despite 6,000 years, did you know that from Adam, if you calculate the time from when Adam was created till now, it's about 6,000 years. Did you know that? That's just pure history from the Bible. From Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus Christ was 2,000 years. And from Jesus Christ till about now is what? 2,000 years. That's why your date says what? What did your date say? 2016. It's been 2,016 years since Jesus Christ was born. Not when he died, but when he was born. Hallelujah. 6,000 years of civilization. And all we still have is evil and brokenness. All we still have is death, decay, disaster, destruction, depression, and all the demons of this world. I don't like the letter D. I like the letter L. You know why I like the letter L? L means life. L means light. L means love. That is who God is. God is light. God is love. God is life. And that's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's absolute. Hello? It's what? Absolute. This doesn't leave room for religion. You can go to church all your life, but if you have not connected with Jesus Christ, there's no way. You can know all the forms. You can dress like, you can be the nicest person in the world, but there is no way to the Father. There is no way to heaven without who? Jesus Christ. You know why? Because no man ever came down from heaven. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. No man, no matter their best ideas, can show you the way to heaven. Because they have never been there. Jesus came down from heaven. And by the way, if you don't know who Jesus is, I'd like to introduce him to you. Jesus. Yeah? Is the eternal word of God. In fact, Jesus is God himself. Man found himself in such a mess that man, with his best efforts, cannot save himself. I tell you something, no matter what you do, if you like, give all your salary to charity. If you like, sweep all the streets from Basingstoke to Birmingham. If you like, even give all your organs for organ donation while you are still alive. Yeah? That cannot still save you. If you like, blow up yourself like a terrorist in the expectation of 20,000 virgins in heaven. But that cannot what? It cannot save you. You do not have it in you to save yourself. Why? Because you were born into brokenness. You understand? Man is broken by nature. If you say, oh yeah, you know, they are good people. I know they are good people. Have you met a good person before at your workplace? Have you met a good person before? Is your brother good to you?
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, he will just... Hallelujah. Every man has the capacity and the propensity for evil. They just need to be in the right place. Hello? I said every man, by their nature, has the capacity and the propensity for evil. That's why, despite 6,000 years of civilization, evil has not stopped. And I tell you something, it can never stop. Until the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes to rule on this earth. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Without him, there is no lasting peace. Amen. That doesn't mean everybody is evil. The reason why people can still be good is a function of the light they have. That light, you may have it by your upbringing or by your education. Or by your society. If you have some light, you can be good. But that doesn't deal with the evil and the brokenness. But only Jesus. He is the way. I don't want you to ever doubt it. Your niceness cannot take you to heaven. You got to get on the way. And Jesus said, the way to life is narrow. You know what it means? It says, enter through the narrow gate. You know what that means? You know when something is narrow? Think of the narrowest gate in the world. Can you imagine? The narrowest gate. Okay, what can you see? In terms of getting through that gate, what can you see? The narrowest gate in the world, but it's a gate for a human being, okay? What can you see in terms of that gate? In terms of you getting through?
Death.
No, come on, be positive. What can you see? It's a very narrow gate, but can pass human beings through, but it's very narrow. Now, you want to pass through that gate, what can you see? I know it's a big question. It's a broad question.
Difficulties and problems.
Difficulties and problems, yes. What can you see? I usually have a perfect answer, you see. So your answer may be good, like that is a very good answer, but it's not my perfect answer. Anybody want to try for my perfect answer? There's a very narrow gate. And you have to pass through. What can you say? Hallelujah. Jesus is a good answer. But more importantly, a narrow gate does not make room for more than one. See what I mean? It's got to be one. Hallelujah. It's got to be what? One. And that Jesus said, I am what? The way. There is no other way. There is no other truth. And there is no other life. Hallelujah. 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 And so, when you are in Christ, this life is not the end of your life. In fact, actually, the life we are living now is probation. We are all on probation. Oh, glory to God. Let's go to John chapter 3. My Bible has disappeared. Yes, okay, I have another one. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. People of God, the life you have is not your own. It's not your own. It's a gift. Let me just say that again. I said the life you have is not your own. It's a gift. That's why you did not decide when you were coming. You knew nothing about it. You just found out when you're 3-4 years old that you exist. Yeah? It's not your own. It's a gift. Hallelujah. And the only way, I do not say the best way, I said the only way to live your life well is to live it in honor of the one who brought you here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life is probation. This is not the end. Hello? That's why when Christians die, we sorrow, but the tears of sorrow, they mix with the tears of joy. Because we know that death for a believer is not the end. Hallelujah. It's a transition to the real life that will never end. Hallelujah. I said it will never end. And so, although we do our best in this life, you know, to make the most of our life in honor and the glory of God, yet still, death cannot defeat us. Because even when we died, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm absent in my body, I become what? Present with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's when a Christian dies. So, I want to ask you a question. Benjamin. Have you ever seen Jesus Christ face to face?
No.
Hallelujah. But you see, when a Christian dies, from that moment, you will what? You will see him face to face. See, that's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. We know where the story ends. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, I know where the story ends. Hallelujah. And for a believer, your story ends with life everlasting. You see, have you ever read fairy stories? Fairy tales? Have you ever read fairy tales? Like when you were a child? Yeah? Or now maybe if you have to read fairy tales to children. Yeah? You know that in fairy tales, one thing they say is that, you know, and everything was okay and they lived happily ever after. Yeah? In this world, there is no happily ever after. In this world, no. Hello? Are you still with me? Even the royal house. You see, there was a TV program that was, you know, screened when I was growing up, and it was titled, The Rich Also Cry. Did you know that? And the poor also laugh. Did you know that? There's no happily ever after in this world because it's a world of brokenness. It's a world of uncertainty. Hallelujah. The only happily ever after is the life of a believer when they transition into glory. It's life everlasting, which means life without end. Hello? It's life without end. It's happily ever after. So our time on earth is a time for us to make choices. Have you ever thought about how many choices you have to make in a day? You know, like for example, like ladies, sorry, I had to always use ladies as an example. You know, for the man, when he wakes up, he just brushes teeth, puts on, you know, whatever he finds and he's out. For the ladies, that is a big problem. Okay, which of these clothes am I going to put on? Okay, should I put on a red makeup or a pink or a black or a yellow? Okay, what about my shoes? Oh, do they match? Okay, they match, but I wore it yesterday, so I can't repeat it. So, and then, When you finish all that and you're way hard, then you remember that, oh, I did not, you know, straighten my head well. Oh, now you have to go back and do that. You know, choices. Hello? Are you with me? Life is probation. In life, we have to make choices. And when we make those choices we then make us. And you, let's just repeat that. Life is about choices. And we all have to make choices on a daily basis. Now, when you've made that choice, the choice will then make you. You know what I mean by that? Every choice you make, we have a consequence on your life. Hallelujah. In this world, and also in that to come. So let me just shift gear. Let's go to John 3, read it, and I want to ask you two questions. Two questions. John chapter 3. Amen. What we're talking today, this is a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. It's the most important of all things that you could ever hear in church. Anytime you are being reminded of eternity, it's the most important. Let me explain to you why. No matter how much you achieve on earth, and no matter who you become on earth, I told you, first of all, as you grow older, you pick, your body picks, and then it begins to become, you know, you start growing older and older and older. That's a reminder that you are nearing the end more than the beginning. The maximum years is 100, but eternity is 10,000 years and forever. Have you ever thought about that? This has no end. But where you are here, your choices will make your eternity. Amen. It's like saving for a holiday. It's like saving for a car. You go to all those sacrifices because you know that, yeah, when I get that, I'll really enjoy it. The same thing. You got to save for eternity by laying up your treasure in heaven. And not on the earth. Are you with me? You have to lay up your treasure in heaven. How do you lay up your treasure in heaven? By doing the things that honor God. Amen. Let's look at John 3 and I'll ask you some questions and then we begin to round up. John chapter 3. Someone please read for me from verse 13. To 21. John 3, verse 13 to 21.
And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. Those who believe in the Son are not judged, but those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. All those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light, because they do not want their evil deeds to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light, in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God. 21. Yeah, that's it.
I read verse 16. See, John 3:16. Anybody know John 3:16? You know what is in John 3:16? You've heard it before, you know. Please just put up your hands. Anybody familiar with John 3:16? Yeah, I expect the majority. Beautiful. You see, this is always a problem. Sometimes, even when you go to preach, someone who is not believing can quote for you John 3:16. But they don't know John 3:15. and they don't know John 3:17. Let's look at John 3:16 and then read it with John 3:17. Because actually they go together. John 3:16 is not complete until you read what? John 3:17. So let's read together. Let's read together. Let's go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, as there is everlasting life, so also there's everlasting darkness. You know that? You know, light and darkness, they're opposites, yeah? So the existence of everlasting life means there's an existence of everlasting darkness. And at the end of life is either or. There is no middle ground. Yeah? The way is Jesus. He who believes in him, yeah, has passed from death to life. You know why? Not because you deserved it, but because you chose him. Okay, let me stop there and get you thinking. So first question is this. Can anybody define for me what is sin? Let's define. What do you think is sin? If someone says, oh, someone is sinned or is a sinner, what does that mean? What is sin? In your definition, what do you define as sin? Yes? I want three answers. Let's try. What is sin? Yes? Yes, okay. Take three answers. So what is sin? Or what is sinful?
Praise God. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So our state before redemption, before Jesus died for us, is that we are all sinners. So it's like our state. It's like our automatic state. It's like our... I was going to say our birthright. It's not our birthright. But it's like that. That's the state into which a man is born. So it's not actually what you've done or what you haven't done, but what you then do to get out of it is to believe in Jesus.
Okay. Thank you for your answer. It's too spiritual. I'm looking for a simpler answer. How do you describe sin? So someone say, oh, you know, that man sinned, or that man committed a sin. What makes what he did, what make you characterize whatever he did as sin? See what I mean? Yeah. Just, I come back to you.
I believe sin is the food for death, you know, breeds death, and anything what displeases God, you know, is a sin.
Okay, so let's just take that. Whatever displeases God is a sin. Yes, I'm looking for other simpler answers, as simple as you can get.
I think a sin is something wrong that you've done, okay, and you know that it's wrong.
Okay, so sin is all wrongdoing. Yeah, so anything that displeases God, sin, sin is all wrongdoing. In fact, you know that you're quoting a scripture? That's in the Bible. Yes, any other definition of what sin is? What do you just use your own? What do you understand as sin?
The wrongdoing thing. Wrongdoing.
Wrongdoing. So
not doing the right thing.
Not doing the right thing. Assuming you know what that right thing is.
Breaking the law of the Lord.
Breaking the law of the Lord. Yeah, people are getting more imaginative here. Yeah, that's better.
Summary, violation of the law of the Lord.
Yes. Right. Yeah, just breaking the law of the Lord, but he has given you more legal term, yeah? Violation of the law of God.
Anything wrong, any wrong done intentionally.
Okay. So this is now, you know, this what these adverbs. Is it adjective? That's what you've done. Adjectives are very powerful. They can ruin or make you. If you use the wrong adjective, you are in trouble. You can take the truth and put the wrong adjective and it becomes a lie, yeah? Anything, all I'm doing that is done what? Intentional. That's a good, good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, quite similar to what Mommy said. Something that manifests itself with the intention.
Yes. So the intention is important in describing wrongdoing. So somebody, so for example, I mistakenly cut off your head, God forbid.
But it's a mistake. So I've not sinned. Well, yeah, but you know, I can't cut off your head. I love you too much. You know, it's not possible. Yeah? Yes? Did you want to say something?
No. Did you
want to say something? Okay, I think we touched the most important answers. All wrongdoing that is done intentionally to break the law of God and violate it, and, you know, that means, and intentionally. Okay. So these are good answers. Okay? These are good answers. I want to give you an answer to define what sin is. You see, one word that came up there is intentionally, isn't it? So we understand that the intention matters, isn't it? So it's not just what you did and if it's wrong, but what was the intention? You know, was it deliberate? Was it mistakenly? Were you coerced? These are all factors in law. Yeah? Any lawyer in the house? Yeah? These are all, they're called mitigating factors. Yeah. I want to simply define sin as a rejection of the word of God. Every time you reject the word of God, it is sin. And that should cover all your answers. Every time you reject the word of God, it is sin. You know, for example, depending on which part of the world you are, something that may be wrong in UK may not be wrong in America or Africa, particularly like Namibia. Yeah? You know what I mean? You know, Africa is a continent. You know, so depending on your location, depending on your company, for example, in the company of criminals, crime is a good thing. Oh yeah. In the company of criminals, the best person in the house is the person who is smartest in committing crime. Did you know that? In the company of criminals. You didn't know that? I'm missing. Yeah. The most accepted person in the company of criminals is probably the most brutal. Oh yeah. Okay? So a criminal wants to see your money, sees you as the offender who is trying to stop him from getting what he needs to make a living. See that? Right. So depending on the society, depending on the location, wrongdoing can be defined differently. And so when we start and say, well, you know, all wrongdoing, what's the reference point? You see what I mean? So that's why, you know, the wrongdoing can only be defined as sin with respect to God. You know why? Because man is flawed. I'm sure that there are some laws, you know, where you live that you feel is not fair. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah? You know that sometimes the reason why people violate the law is because they are selfish. But another reason why people violate the law is that they feel that this law is not what? Fair. Have you felt that? I've felt that way before, so I'm sure that you should have felt that way before. Do you know that the reason why many people obey the law is the fear of punishment? Not because they really want to obey. For example, take driving and speeding. Yeah? People will speed so long they know they will not be what? Caught. Are you with me? Yeah? So it's not that they want to obey from their heart, but it's the fear of punishment. Are you with me? So, but man is flawed. So the laws of man are also flawed. But God is perfect. God is just. God is not competing with you. You see, God is not trying to destroy your life. He made you. Hello? You need to understand that even the breath you take comes from God. So think about it. Let's assume that God hates you. Yeah? It means you can't take the next breath. Because all you just need to do is... No matter how beautiful, no matter how smart looking you're looking, if God does... You are gone. See what I mean? So God is not the one trying to destroy your life.
God is perfect. And that's why Psalm 19. Let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, I need to begin to ramp up now. So I'll round up within 10 minutes. Psalm 19. Are you there? I'm sure it's Psalm 19. Oh, is it not? Yes, yeah, Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. So anybody would like to help me read that? Just a minute, I'll give you the mic.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
You read that? Does it say different in any other version? Yes, okay, let's have it.
The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it.
Amen. You see that? The law of the Lord is what? Is perfect. Let me tell you something. I never had a problem with the law of God. Sometimes I don't understand when people just, you know, keep talking about the law, the law, the law. In the Old Testament, do you know how many laws do you think there are in the Old Testament? Do you know? In the Old Testament. How many laws? Brother Toby, how many laws in the Old Testament? Do you know? 600, you're on something, you're close. Say what you wanted to say anyway.
10
commandments. Oh, you see, I like when you simplify life, isn't it? 10 commandments, that's just good enough, isn't it? But in the Old Testament, there are 10 commandments, and there are many other laws, you know, and I stand to be corrected. There are 613 laws to keep in the Old Testament. And when you read through them, you say, oh, these are too... And some of them you may not understand because you did not live in the time when it was given. You know, oh, there's too many laws to keep. I can't. I want to ask you a question. How many laws do we have in the UK? Did you know? I'll give you £10. If you can prove to me that there are less than 10,000. Hello? If you can prove to me that there are less than what? 10,000. And I will give you £10. And every day, laws are still being made. And when laws are made by parliament, it's different from the rules that are made by government organizations. It's different from the rules that are made by your workplace. It's not from the rules that are made by your community organization. Hello? You see that? The law of the Lord is perfect. God is not the one trying to overburden your life. The law of man is flawed and is manifold. It's many. There are some laws you don't know. Do you know that? Do you know that? And yet still, it is said that ignorance is not an excuse in the law. Are you with me? And that's why the Bible says, God so loved the world. He did not just give you laws to keep, because you will never perfectly keep all of them. He gave you himself. He gave his only son. You see, the best way that God could demonstrate that he loves you is that he gave the thing of the most essential value in his being, which is himself. God came down and he lived as a man. And he died and suffered punishment. Yeah? As an offender. He didn't offend, but he suffered punishment as an offender. So that you and I can go free. Not just free to do as we like, but free with a right conscience towards God to do his will. Because if your conscience is guilty, you can't please God. If you have a guilty conscience, you're going to run away. You say, I'm not good enough. I'm wretched. Yeah? But Jesus paid the price so that you can come to God because of Jesus. And God can accept you as his child. And because now you know you are his child, you can go into the world confidently
and live as his child. Knowing that whenever you meet it, you can go back to God because of the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross and say, Father, I missed it. Forgive me. And when you do that, what does he do? He wipes you clean. And you can continue that journey. Amen. But finally, what I want to say to you is that now you are a child of God. What about those who are out there? Do you realize that everybody you meet on your way in life who is not a believer in Jesus is on their express way to hell? Because they cannot save themselves. No matter how nice they have broken the law of God in one way or the other. They will never qualify no matter the best things they did. They need a Savior. If they don't make contact with the Savior, they are lost forever. Now let me ask you a question in rounding off to make this clear. So I've asked you about sin, and we define sin, you know, and I define it as rejecting the word of God. So I want to ask you, what is the greatest sin? It's my last question today. What do you think is the greatest sin? Just give me a simple practical answer. Don't try to be too spiritual. The greatest sin ever. In your own mind, what will somebody do? And you say, that deed is unpardonable. It's the worst thing that a human being can do. Yes?
Believe sin, they all hold equal value, which is payment for his death.
Mm-hmm. So it says sin is all equal value. Yes, I take that. Yes, the greatest sin ever that you in your own personal mind say, that person, no. If you can't pardon this person, what they did, it's too terrible.
Is rejecting Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Rejecting Jesus Christ, yes. What do you think is the greatest sin? All of us have thought about this at one time or the other. There are things in your mind that you say, wow, a human being could do this. Person is not human. He's an animal. Yes?
Lies.
You see, so please be very careful besides Yolanda in a good way. She hates lies. She will tolerate any other thing. So look, are you hearing me? But if you lie to her and she finds out, you are in big trouble. Okay? Yes? Let's take one or two more answers. The greatest sin ever. What do you think?
Disobedience.
Disobedience. Yes? Yes, that's a good answer. The greatest sin ever. What do you think is the greatest sin ever? What could somebody do and you're like, no. That one, crossed the line.
Turning away from the Lord.
Turning away from the Lord, yes. Let's take one more answer. Yes, I want some imaginative.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness is a terrible sin. Did you know that? Let me tell you why unforgiveness is terrible. You will never be totally right. Hello? Are you hearing me? You will never be totally right. Because you are living in a broken world. Sometimes your perception of things is wrong. And you don't know. And you keep pushing it. I've met people who are very selfish. Yeah? But they kept complaining about every other person. They never saw the problem with themselves. And I see it. And in those, I can't even say it because I know that if I say it, they will not talk to me anymore. Because then I become an enemy. Are you with me? You'll never be totally right. And that's why you have to forgive. Because you are always in need of forgiveness. Hello? I said you are always in need of forgiveness. That's why you need a Savior. You are always in what? In need of forgiveness. Now, to illustrate to you the greatest sin, I just break it down. Let me give you an example. Assuming you love pets. You love keeping pets? Anybody love keeping pets here? It doesn't matter if you're not keeping. Anybody loves keeping pet? Yeah, good. Okay, which pet do you love to keep?
Dog.
Dog.
All sorts, but not in house.
Not in house. What do you call it?
I love dogs and cats and...
Dogs and cats, okay. And what?
Birds.
And birds, yeah.
except, you know, what they do to my car. Yeah, that's why I get angry with birds. Yeah. Yes? No, maybe not the ones like that. Yeah. Actually, the ones like that are also beautiful, you know. You know, imagine a world without birds, you know. Too boring, isn't it? Yes? What pet, what the other person love pets? Which pet do you like?
Just something. Dogs.
Dogs, okay.
Tiger, but I chose but dogs.
Okay. Can you tell me one thing, please? Can you tell us why you cannot keep a tiger? Because you said if you had a choice.
License condition in this country.
Yes. And can you tell me why you think there's a license condition?
Sorry.
Why is there a license condition around keeping a tiger when there's no license condition around keeping a cat?
Well,
because they are both cats. One is a big cat and one is a small cat.
Different countries have a different law of the land, and like you mentioned, the small cats and big cats more dangerous, more vulnerable to attack.
More dangerous. Thank you. That's the word. Okay. All right. Because of your answer, let's focus on the most popular answer, which is the dog. So you love dogs and you love to keep dogs. Yeah? So you buy this dog from a baby. Yeah? You provide the food, water, milk. The dog takes milk. The dogs take milk. I don't know. I know cats do. Yeah, some of them. You know? And you just continue to provide for this dog. You know? And that dog grows up. And when it's exactly 2 years old, it's two years, what's the dog lifespan? So maybe when it's 3 years old, yeah, it starts biting you every day. What are you going to do?
I don't know, trying to, I don't know, teach him not to bite first.
You taught him for 3 years.
Send some shelter.
Send the shelter, yes. What will you do? That dog starts biting you ferociously every day. What are you going to do?
Bite you back.
I like that. That is imagination. That's cool. I like that. Yes? One more answer? Say that again.
Put him down.
Because if you're in the UK, you can't do that yourself. But if you are somewhere else, yeah, I'm using to explain to you the greatest sin. The greatest sin is to reject God. It doesn't matter how nice you are. When you say there's no place in your heart for Jesus Christ, you have rejected God and you are committing the greatest sin. Because the whole of your life is based on His love and His grace. The sunshine, the moonshine, the rain, the food. Think about it. The food you eat, where does it come from?
I'm looking for an imaginative answer.
Let's go. It comes from the ground. Can you eat ground? Can you eat that? Where does the food come from? You put a seed that you can't eat in the ground. Then the food comes. That's a miracle. So, despite the benevolence of God that sustains your life, and despite all God has done, whether you know it or not, if you reject Him, there's only one thing God will do. All your life, He will give you the opportunity to accept Him. But when life is over, if you have deliberate desire to reject Him, He will have to put you away forever. Now, the problem with God putting you away forever is that outside of God, there is nothing good. Outside of God, there is no light. That's why the Bible calls it outer darkness. Outside of God, there's only pain, regret, torment, and whatever. And because God gave you a chance all your life, and you consistently, deliberately decide to reject Him,
He will have to exclude you forever. Because you had your chance. Do you understand? Now, I'm not just saying this to you. I'm telling you that that's the fate of every man. And that's why we have to preach the gospel. You can't just sit down in church and say, you know what? I'm saved. I got my passport to heaven. Meanwhile, if you have your passport to heaven, I want to beg you, keep it valid. Are you with me? Anybody ever tried to travel with an expired passport? Have you ever tried to travel with an expired passport? When you want to travel, what's the first thing you check? What do you check in your passport?
It's valid.
It's validity. Keep your passport valid. Amen. But the fact that you have a passport to heaven does not mean you should ignore people outside, because without God, they are on their way. If they die like that, they are on their way to eternal darkness, eternal regret, eternal torment, eternal exclusion from God, because they had a whole lifetime to make Jesus their Lord. Let's open the final place and we round up. Mark 16. Open to Mark 16. And we're talking about the good news of salvation. So I told you, I said to explain the good news, I need to make you understand the bad news. You understand? When you understand the bad news, you can appreciate the good news. If you don't understand the bad news, you don't understand the good news. Are you with me? Let me say that again. If you don't understand the bad news, you don't understand the good news. When you understand the bad news, you cannot understand what God has done. God has done it without you deserving it. And there's only one thing that God is asking of you now. Only one thing God is asking. Mark chapter 16. Please, someone read for me verse 15 and 16. And that's it, and we round up. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. What are you?
Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. That's 16.
That was very succinctly read. See? So go into the world. Preach the gospel. Everybody you come across every day, if they have not believed, they are on their way to outer darkness. And they cannot believe if they didn't preach. Yeah? Don't say, oh God, we preach to them in their dream. Why we go preach to them in their dream when he has told you to preach? You see the point? Does God change his mind? He told you. Preach to them. And preaching does not mean that you take your Bible and bang it on their head. No. It means tell them of what Jesus has done for them. Tell them of what their life is without Jesus. You know, what the future is without Jesus. Give them an opportunity to hear so that they can believe. And when they believe, then they become children of God. Amen. You have to go and preach the gospel. And today, in rounding up, in this church, what we've done is we printed some tracts, which is the gospel tract, Good News of Salvation. In this 2-page pamphlet, you have a short summary of what the gospel is. You know, our condition without God and what Jesus has done to make us children of God. I think it's a very good tool to preach the gospel. It's a good way of starting a conversation. And even when you can't make a conversation, you can just give it to somebody and trust God that they will read it in their good time. Amen. Now, this is a continuous thing. In front here, we have 1,000 pamphlets, 1,000, which I expect to go to be used within 2 months. We will continue to print. Yeah? Because one of the things you need for preaching, you need a good tool. It's like you're a mechanic or you're an engineer without tools. No matter what you know, you can't function. Yeah? So, as we round up, I would like you to, you know, I'd like someone here, you know, distribute to everyone a copy. But after this service, you can pick up any more copies. Okay, I'm just giving a copy to make sure you at least you have one. You know, and then in your daily life, it's not just, you know, you have to go on Saturday. Wherever you are, God put you where you are so that you can talk to somebody. You know, there are people that come to you in their time of need. You can tell them, do you know that Jesus died for you so that you can have eternal life? Amen. It's a free gift. You know, please distribute that. Give a copy around, and I will just pray over it, and we'll round up. Just one. And like I said, you can take more. There's no limit. You can take whatever copies you want. Every Sunday, we will have them here. And you can take more copies if you want them. If you take that pamphlet, let's just read. I'll show you something there. At the bottom, please, everyone just look at the bottom. You will see a scripture in red. Okay, let's read it together. Let's wait. Does everyone have? Staronka, do you have one? Yes. So there's a scripture quotation in red towards the bottom. Can we read it together? Let's read. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. That's what? The good news. What we all deserve is death, eternal death and darkness and exclusion from God. But what Jesus has done, which is free, which is a gift, is to give us eternal life. And we are to go and tell it. It's good news. It's what? It's good news. That there is life after death is good news. Amen. Let us pray.